This podcast is brought to you by ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet can provide world-class managed IT services and IT support to your business. They're St. Louis's highest-rated outsourced IT company, and there's many different ways ThrottleNet can help with your business's operation and digital protection. Check them out at ThrottleNet.com.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
So we know that the federal government, the Biden administration, has set really, really, really big goals for electric vehicles. I mean, they really want to use policy to get more electric vehicles on the roads everywhere throughout the country. So you got to power these things somehow. And right now, most of the country geographically, you're going to go a long way before you get to a charging station. So what does all of this mean when it comes to powering these vehicles? Josiah Neely is with the R Street Institute. And I found his, well, I say I found, you know, the R Street Institute sent me his recent article saying, will plugging in your electric vehicle cause a blackout? And Josiah joins us right now. That's a great headline, Josiah, because, I mean, right now there just aren't that many electric vehicles on the roadway. But the policy, stated policy goals of the Biden administration is that they basically want to convert us to an electric vehicle economy, which I mean, give me your take. I don't even think that's realistic ever.
Yes, thank you for having me. And certainly, I think if you listen to some of the promises, projections being made by the Biden administration, Gavin Newsom in California, other things, you know, you might start to get a little concerned. You know, you're going to wake up tomorrow and all the cars are going to be electric. Your car is going to be taken away and replaced by a, you know, electric vehicle or whatever. That's obviously not going to happen. I think the projection, you know, like electric vehicles, they have been increasing in terms of the number of them that are sold, but it's still like 5% of the total. And I think, you know, even over the course of the next decade or so, that's going to rise. But most of the cars that are on the road are going to continue to be gas vehicles. And as you mentioned, there's all sorts of infrastructure that would have to get built out before you could have, you know, a majority or anything close to exclusively electric vehicles on the road.
Good morning, Josiah. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So one thing I've noticed too is a lot of governments like Gavin Newsom and in California and places like that, where they are making demands about the percentage of vehicles that are going to be sold, and therefore the percentage of vehicles that are going to be on the road that need to be electric. And this comes without the guarantees necessary for the changes to the infrastructure to support those things. So given what we know about how all this stuff works, where do you think those things will end up in the next 10, 15, 20 years as they try to roll out those laws in the face of a market that doesn't seem to want to support it?
Yeah, so I mean, a good example of this might be ethanol. Some of your listeners might be aware there was a big push a decade or two ago to try and get the U.S. vehicle fleet onto ethanol, and there were all sorts of mandates and requirements of how much ethanol had to be used for various purposes. And as it turned out, some of those mandates turned out to be kind of technically impossible. You know, you were supposed to use so many tons of ethanol, and they just didn't exist. And so what happened, they kind of let the mandate slide, and they had to give waivers and other things like that. So I suspect that if you don't have as they get closer to these goal dates, if it's starting to look like, actually it's not going to work out, then quietly they'll be modified or dropped a little bit. That's kind of what happens in the past. It's a big deal to hold the press conference and make the announcement that you're going to move to all electric or net zero or whatever it is, conveniently after you leave office. And then if it turns out that the world is not running that way, the next guy or whoever, you know, modifies that. So that's my expectation. Another thing that could be done is right now, in order to build anything in the country, it takes a long, long time because there's all sorts of permitting requirements and other things like that. In the Congress, they've been talking about the need for permitting reform, and that has been opposed by a lot of Democrats because they've seen that as, you know, building things are a bad thing. Now, though, they really need to build a lot of infrastructure if you're going to have this electric vehicle transformation. So you are starting to see some people wake up and say, oh, okay, maybe we do need some sort of permitting reform. So that could be a positive if they get together on that.
What does the math look like when it comes to the amount of watts and everything that electric vehicles are going to need? I mean, let's say that the market for electric vehicles does grow. I mean, one of the concerns that's been expressed, rightly or not, is that, okay, you want to add more vehicles that suck a lot of electricity off of a grid that in some areas is already tapped to the max during harsh weather. I mean, we think about the brownouts and blackouts in the southwestern part of the United States. I mean, so what kind of effect could an increase on electric vehicles have on the grid as it stands now?
Yeah, so I think the estimates that I've seen are, you know, an electric vehicle, you're using about 3.8 megawatt hours of electricity over the course of a year. And if you were to multiply that by all the cars, you know, let's say all the cars go electric, that's about a billion megawatt hours, which would be about a 25% increase in electricity demand. Now, a lot of that charging is going to happen at night, right? So at night, you typically have a lot of spare electric capacity because people are not, you know, they don't have the lights on, they're not running their appliances, etc. And so you're going to have a lot of spare capacity that can absorb some of that. But you will need, you know, you'll probably have an increase in demand. And the solution to that is, you know, you just build more power plants to accommodate that. Electricity demand overall in the U.S. has kind of been going down over the past few decades. But if it starts to go up again because of this or for other reasons, if we start, you know, bringing more manufacturing back or whatever, then the market can respond to that and people will want to, you know, make money selling that power. So that's an issue that I think definitely can be dealt with, but it'll be interesting to see how much it actually happens.
Good morning, Josiah. This is Stel Ponticus. You know, in major metropolitan areas like my hometown of Chicago, there are literally millions of people living in apartments and high rises and they own vehicles. How in the world are they going to access the power source that they need for their vehicles?
Yeah, so that's a big issue. Where do you charge if you don't have, you know, if you have a plug-in but you don't have a place to plug it in? So you would need, you know, to have some sort of charging station associated with the apartment, maybe, or other place like that, in parking lots. You know, so there's a lot of infrastructure that has to get built out if you're really going to be thinking about having most cars or a sizable percentage of the vehicles be electric. And that's just something that, you know, that can happen over time, but I don't think it's been fully thought through exactly what the requirements are going to be.
We're visiting with Josiah Neely from the R Street Institute. When people need to fill up their gas tank, gas stations pop up because the market says, okay, people are going to want to buy gas here. So you will have a big truck stop or a big gas station convenience store in the middle of nowhere along a highway in rural America. There just doesn't seem to be a demand for the electric vehicle side of this. I mean, is this a matter, Josiah, of the federal government wants to push via policy something that the market doesn't want? And what happens when those two aspects collide?
Yeah, so I think you're seeing both. You know, definitely the government is doing a lot to try and push electric vehicles. There's tax credits. There's other things like that. I do think it's the case that you are starting to see more demand for electric vehicles, particularly, you know, the Tesla. You know, I know a lot of people who are getting the Tesla. It's been pricey, so that's part of the issue. is, you know, it's been to where like an ordinary person can't really afford it. Now the price is starting to get down where it's more reasonable. Everybody that I know that has a Tesla really likes it. So I'm sure that will grow. And as that grows, you will probably start to see more charging stations. And probably what you'll see, you know, the natural thing is that huge gas station out in the middle of nowhere. You know, we have them here. They're called Buc-ee's. They're like, it's like an entire mall almost.
It's like a city station. Almost in some Buc-ee's.
Yeah. And they'll just add some charging stations. You know, it's a natural thing, you know, one stop for everybody. So I expect that as you start to see more and more electric cars, you'll start to see more of that. If, you know, the market will respond to the actual demand if it's allowed by regulation or other things like that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if the federal government's push for this is overshooting what the actual demand is, and you put something out of balance, you can cause other problems, unintended or otherwise.
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, the big, I think, so far, you know, you talk about at least these tax credits, well, they'll give you $7,000, you know, if you buy an electric vehicle or whatever. Most of the research I've seen is you're just giving money to rich people who would have bought the electric vehicles anyway. So that's bad policy. You know, it's unfair. But it probably, ironically, has not boosted the number of electric vehicles on the road that much. So, you know, that's an interesting example of government failure. But, you know, we'll see if they do better going forward.
Yeah, it just means the rest of us pay for it. I think it's a good point. All right, Josiah, where do people keep track of your work? Because it looks like you do a lot of specialty work on the energy sector for R Street.
Yeah, you can check out his website, rstreet.org, letter R, street, all spelled out, .org.
All right, Josiah, appreciate you being on the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.